being
grateful for preparing ourselves a heart to walk in all that you have called us to do, to love one another, to share your amazing, amazing works that you've done with inside of us, God. Lord, I know there's so many people in our body right now that may be going through something or that are maybe having some physical conditions and might be feeling sick or feeling weak or even feeling depression, Lord. I just want to stand right now with my brothers and sisters and agree for your work to be done in each and every one of our bodies. In our church as a whole, God, I command all sickness to leave. I command all pain to flee. I command all depression to be gone. I command healing to take place right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Have your way inside of our building. Have your way in our community. Have your way in our government. Have your way in our lives. Lord, just have your way, Father God. As usual, God, I come to you today and I say, help me decrease so that you may increase, God, in everything that we do. Let our lives be a living example of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, man. Before I get into the message, I just want to say how awesome God is. God is so awesome. You know, Pastor Chad and Gina just had a grandson. That's such an amazing blessing, especially if you knew the backstory behind all of it. It's just so awesome how God is. You know, God's the redeemer. He's the rewarder, you know. He brings back the broke, he heals the broken, he brings back the lost. I absolutely love that story. My wife and I are getting prepared to have our second grandchild any day now. And, you know, we're sending my baby girl away to college, you know. And there's such a feeling right now, you know. To be honest, I never thought I'd make it past 21. You know, I thought I'd be dead right now. And as you guys have heard my past, which I'm not going to get into, I thought I'd be in prison. I should be in prison right now. But by the grace of God, right? And so as I'm preparing my son, Denitra, and now my 15-year-old is also going to college this year here in Yavapai, I'm just so overflowing with emotions of gratitude and gratefulness and what God has done. You know, there's this lie that generational curses and bondage of our past and stuff like that is something that has to be held on to forever. But let me tell you what, but God. God breaks all of those things. God did such a work in me that I was able to raise some amazing children and lead them into what God has for them and to just grow something that is so different than what reality or the world would have said I'd be experiencing in life, right? To be a pastor, to be able to do all the things what we're doing is just so powerful. So as I was preparing this message, I'm kind of like, God, I need you to show me something right now, you know. I need you to give me something that I can impart wisdom on not only our youth, but on my daughter as she's getting ready to go away. And as I was preparing, God said, this is for you too. And I want you guys to understand, this is for you too. We never, you know, sometimes the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the word, a reminder is so welcome, right? Because we can kind of tend to think that we've arrived somewhere, and so we're not really receptive. And God, thank you for giving me a receptive heart, a heart that's willing to not only receive your word and not only the willingness to apply it to my life, but also the... what's the word I'm looking for? The willingness to say, to take correction, right? Because we have to be willing to allow the word of God to correct us. We have to be willing to receive correction, because if we're not, then we're not going to continue to grow. You know, we just limit our capacity to grow in all areas. So as he was sharing it with me, he just was like, hey, man, this is something that you kind of need to retouch, right? And so what I want to talk about today is the power of godly relationships. As we prepare to send Denitra away to college so that she can grow and become the amazing woman of God that she's already shown herself to be, I feel like it's important not only for her but for every single one of us to discuss the power of godly relationships. I tell the youth all the time that a godly relationship is one that encourages each other, lifts each other up, and not breaks each other down. A godly relationship will encourage, edify, and lead you to the Father for wisdom and guidance. That's a godly relationship. That's a godly friendship. When my brother is down, when my sister is down, I like to believe, like, she should be able to count on me. He should be able to count on me to come up and say, you know what? Hey, let me lift you up. Let me encourage you. And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes, all too many times, we kind of say, well, it's not my problem. I'm going to come over here because it's dark over here, you know? And that's the wrong attitude to have, you know? We shouldn't separate ourselves from each other because we were all put in here to lift and encourage each other, right? Because as the body works together, oh my gosh, you better watch out, right? As the body works together, you better watch out. So how important are our relationships? I know that if I hadn't had the relationships that I've had while coming to this church for the last 14 years, my story would have been a lot different. You know, if I didn't have godly people that were willing vessels, willing to open up and share with me, willing to pour into me, willing to encourage me, willing to hold me through the hard times and give me a kind word and push in and press and really help me. Because it wasn't a Richie thing, right? It was a combination of so many people in this room right now and so many more that aren't here anymore, really pressing into me, really encouraging me, really loving on me, really feeding me with God's word and God's presence and God's love, his unselfish love. So Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks as a companion with wise men will be wise, but the companion of a conceited, dull-witted fools are fools themselves and will experience harm. In summer camp, one of the pastors had said, show me 10 of your closest friends, and I'll show you who you are behind closed doors. I shared this on Wednesday, and I tell the kids all the time that what we surround ourselves with, the music we choose, the TV we watch, the people we allow to influence our lives, we will take on the characteristics of those things, right? So if we're constantly subjecting ourselves to receiving filth, worldly filth, we're going to get worldly filth. We're going to put worldly filth out. If we're constantly watching bad TV, horrible music, all these things, it's going to taint our mind. It's going to taint the way we think. I don't know if some of this music, I mean, I'm not going to go into names, but I remember when I was depressed, I would listen to this one rapper who would keep me in that spot and make me feel so good. And at the time, I'm like, oh, he knows what I feel. Listen to this. It kept me there. It kept me there. It held me bound to that feelings of depression. Where this guy was like, hey, I do understand what you went through. I'm here still, and I'm staying here. It's fun. We can close the lights and close the curtains and take some pills, and everything will be okay. Woo-hoo. No, it's horrible. But that's the mind frame I was at that time. And so it's like, as I had, one day I was listening to the Christian radio and they did, I didn't like contemporary worship at all. Now I listen to it the most. But they had a 30-day challenge and I received it. I listened to nothing but contemporary worship for 30 days. And man, the way I walked, the way I felt, the joy, the peace, the happiness that washed over me was so amazing that it led me on a path of listening to only Christian music. And I've been that way for years. Every once in a while I like to listen to oldies. Who doesn't, right? Some good old school music. But I make sure that the lyrics are clean and stuff and whatever, because that's a conviction I have, right? So I want to encourage everyone in here to allow God to be more than a 2-minute devotional in our lives. He must be our foundation. I believe that the more we focus on building a relationship with the Father, the more we'll begin to be in his presence, the more we begin to take on the characteristics of the Father. And that's what we want to shine the most, right? We want to be able to shine the characteristics of the Father, a godly love, you know? It's just so powerful. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Do not make mismatched alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership can righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Obviously, as believers, our goal and intention should be to reach the lost, to lead the broken to Christ so that they can be healed. I'm not referring to the gospel or the mission of sharing the gospel. I'm referring to our personal relationships where we can plug in and get recharged, where we can count on each other, where we can edify each other. What I'm talking about here is surrounding ourselves with people that are going to help us stay on track, people who believe the way we believe, that will help us, hold us accountable, and encourage continued growth. I gave this one demonstration at the youth. I took a piece of rope, and I grabbed it by the middle, and I grabbed two kids to come help me, and I says, okay, I want to go to the end of the hallway, right? Take me to the end of the hallway. And so they both grabbed their ropes, and they went forward, and we went. I'm like, oh, hey, cool. And I came back. Okay, now I want you to go that way, and I want you to go that way, and I want you to take me down the hallway. And so they both went their opposite directions, and they couldn't get me down to the hallway. And it was an example of what unequally yoked would look like, right? When you have two people traveling in the same direction, it's easy to reach your goal that you're headed to. But when you got two people that aren't equally yoked, that are different-minded, there's no way you're going to reach the destination that you're trying to get to, right? You know, this one's going to be trying to line up his movements with God, and this one's going to be trying to justify why it's okay to continue in all kinds of things that's bringing them darkness and depression and sickness and all this nonsense, and it's leading away from the Father. They're never going to reach their intended goal. So I try to teach my kids, like, listen, we don't want to push people away, but at the same time, when it comes to us needing to be charged, right, iron sharpens iron, we need to surround us with people that are going to lift us up and not beat us down. We need a kind, encouraging word, but we also need a gentle, correction. We also, no, for real though, we do. We need correction. We also need a soft rebuke, you know, that's done out of love, not condemnation. That's done with kindness and gentleness, right? 2 Corinthians 6:15 says, what harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, Satan? Belial is a term used to characterize or embody immense wickedness or iniquity. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? So how should we classify our friendships? We have long-term friendships. We have seasonal friendships. We have family friendships. Denitra, growing up when she was younger, I'm sorry I'm using you so much, but it'll be good. Denitra, I try not to involve my kids because it's not okay, but this one I think she'll be okay with. Growing up, Denitra had a lot of struggles in public school, right? Because she had Christ in her heart, but she was still so young that she was trying to figure out her own identity and not knowing what that is and what it looks like to be a believer in the midst of the world. Because that's kind of what we tend to do as kids. Parents, we throw our kids into the schools, and the schools are a dark place. Schools can be very dark, and that's why Pastor Chad and I and many others have been working so hard to get into the schools and sharing the gospel the way we are with Youth Alive, that it just gets me so excited and worked up, because I know God has put us there because the harvest is ready, you know, and we're getting ready to just pour into the schools, but I'm getting off track. As you know, Denitra would have trouble because she was trying to live according to God's word and trying to live according to her calling, but she wanted to make friends. We all want to fit in. We all want to make friends. We all want to feel like we're a part of something where we can have a brotherhood, right? That's what got me into gangs when I was younger. I wanted to fit in. Bad decisions sometimes come out of wanting to fit in. And that's why we're called to be set apart. But I told Denitra one day, as she was crying because she was having so much trouble making friends, I told her, I says, listen, a life is like a tree, right? The roots, that's God. And I'm sure most of you guys know, the deeper the root system is, the stronger that tree is. That's why them palm trees can handle so much, right? The trunk, that's Shamini and I. And you know, the siblings, those are the branches. And The leaves are our friends. And sometimes God will put leaves into our life, and sometimes those leaves are there so we can edify and encourage and lead them on their path, right? And sometimes those leaves are there so that they can lift us up and encourage us and help us on our path, right? But as the seasons change, the leaves fall away. Friends aren't always forever, right? But every once in a while, we'll get a group of friends that become a part of our tree. They become branches, and we hold them close. They become family, and we do a large spell, a large season together, and we grow together, and we laugh together, and we cry together, and we might have a disagreement or two together, but at the end of the day, we're awesome. And sometimes, you know, especially as a young kid who's everybody is my bestie, right? sometimes a horrible storm will come and knock those branches off, right? We're always in a constant season of change. And especially with her preparing to go to college right now, she's leaving some friends behind. But I know that God is already starting to put some new leaves in her life that are going to, you know, help her as her tree begins to produce fruit in this next season. Amen. Colossians 3:16. Through 17 says, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating, spreading, and spread throughout every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, bear with me through these next scriptures, because sometimes as we go through these ones, I get a little looks. But 18:221, wives, be subject to your husband out of respect for their position as protectors and their accountability to God, as is proper and fitting for the Lord. Husband, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them, and do not be embittered or resentful toward them because of the responsibilities of marriage. I'm going to stop there for a second before I go to 20 and 21. I always tell this as the kids, because as I first became a believer and I heard this, you know, it's real, we can be a little bit on the silly side and we'll say, you hear that, wives? Subject yourself to your husbands, right? But here's the thing. You should not have to tell your wife to subject herself to you. Because if you're walking in a godly example in the way that we're supposed to as men, we're supposed to love our wives, we're supposed to be the head of household, we're supposed to give them God, we're supposed to grow with them, we're supposed to lead them in godly examples. As we're doing this, the wife doesn't have to be told to submit. She will. Because she wants to. Not because she's told, because you made her feel loved. You made her see the calling that God not only has on your life, but on her life. You walked hand in hand with her. You prayed with her through the down days. You hugged her as she wept when things got crazy in your guys' lives. You guys grew together. You hurt together. You got angry with each other, but you grew together. That is an example of a godly relationship that grows towards Christ. And so as we do these things, the wife wants to do all those things for us, right? And the next one, I always get the look from these ones. Children, children, this one's for you. Obey your parents as God's representatives in all things. For this attitude of respect and obedience is well pleased to the Lord and will bring you God's promises and blessings. Parents, this one's for you. Fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness so that they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. Parenting can be so much fun, right? Children are such an amazing blessing from God. But it can also be difficult because every child is different, right? You might have one that responds great to a firm hand, and you might have another one that'll look you in your face and say, bring it, right? They don't come with a parenting guide. They're not. They're each one is individual, right? And I used to always say that, well, they don't come with a parenting guide, but they do. It's called the Word of God. And as we prepare ourselves, right? And listen, guys, have you guys ever heard when you point one finger, you wave one finger, you got three more coming back at you? I'm doing that right now, okay? I'm still learning, right? I'm 40 years old. I have 6 children, for those of you that don't know. And I am still very much learning as I've got a 22-year-old, a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 13, 10, whatever, you name it. There's so many of them, I forgot. Don't ask me their birthdays or their middle names. but I have all these different age ranges, right? And I'm still learning. As God teaches me, right? Because I'm still learning, right? As God teaches me how to walk in kindness and gentleness and peace and patience. You know, on Wednesday we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to share this with you real quick. I didn't have John put this scripture up. But as we were going through the fruits of the Spirit, it said, but the fruits of the Spirit is the result of His presence within us. It says, love is unselfish concern for others. And I like what it says about patience. It says, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. So how we learn how to be patient with our children, right? It's not patiently waiting for them to come together, but learning how to be patient while they're driving us nuts, right? Growing that relationship, learning how to treat each other, learning how not to be so aggressive and anger, but loving, filled with loving kindness and gentleness, because as we equip ourselves with that, we're building on that relationship. You know, godly relationships touch so much from just knowing somebody, fellowshipping at church, having a friend, having someone that you choose to do life with, having a wife, having a child, having a grandkid, all these amazing blessings, learning how to nurture them and grow them so that they can be amazing tools for Christ. So friends, Proverbs 17:17 said, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. In the Amplified, I just read the Galatians 5, when it was talking about the fruits. It said that the fruits is the result of His presence within us, and that love, it describes love as being an unselfish concern for others. And I really, when I read that, I don't know about you guys, but I like to read a lot of translations. I'll probably, when I'm doing a study, I'll read through probably 6 translations, King James, New King James, Amplified, this, that, and the other. You know, but when I like the way that the Amplified had that little description of what that love was, right? And so when we think about our love with our friends, right, worldly love, I love Ken as long as he can do something for me. But when Ken can't do something for me, I don't love him anymore, right? You know what? Ken offended me. My love is gone. That's not a godly love, right? Because if I truly loved somebody, right? I would want to grow deeper with that person, right? I wouldn't be okay with the idea of that, you know, I love you, now all of a sudden I don't want you in my life. I shouldn't be okay with that. That's not a godly love. So a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in adversity. There's the iron sharpens iron thing. That's the building, the encouraging again. There's the edifying. There's the example of love, right? I want to talk about fellowship real quick. Acts 2:42, it says they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals, together and to pray. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I love eating with you guys. I do. And let me tell you something. I didn't have a godly example of what a family looked like growing up. And so as we come together on Wednesdays, and I want to encourage you, if you're not coming, come. Because it's more than just sitting through a service. There's a fellowship every Wednesday. There's food. There's laughter. There's conversation. Right? And it's beautiful. Sometimes I'll just sit back and look at the room. I'm like, man, this is beautiful. Listen to them. Look at them. Kids are running around playing. Right? We're all getting along and enjoying being in the presence of each other. It's so awesome to me. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 27. And I know it's a lot. And for time's sake, I'm just going to go ahead and read them all. So if you want to look at them later, you can. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 27 says, "For by one Holy Spirit we were all baptized in one body, spiritually transformed, united together, whether Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. Since the same Holy Spirit filled each of us, for the human body does not consist of one part, but of many limbs and organs. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not, on the contrary, still a part of the body, or is it not? If the ear says, 'Because I am not an ear, I am not a part of the body,' it is not, on the contrary, that still is it still a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, as things really are, God has placed and arranged the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he willed and saw fit, with the best balance of function. If they all were a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? But now, as things really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' But quite the contrary, the parts of the body that seems to be weaker are absolutely necessary. But as for those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, those we treat with great honor, and our less presentable parts are treated with great modesty, while our more presentable parts do not require it. But God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor to the part which lacks it, so that there would be no division or discord in the body. That is, lack of adaptation of the parts to each other. But the parts, many have the same concern for one another. And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now, you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function." Do we see the point here? I know it was a lot of scriptures, but I wanted to read them all. Do we see the point here? Sometimes people will be under misunderstanding, and listen, if that's you, please don't be offended. Hear my heart first, right? Some people will be of the opinion that church isn't important in the sense that, well, this is just a building. We don't have to come here. We are the church. We're the body. And that's absolutely true. These four walls are insignificant in the sense that it doesn't, these four walls do not change the fact that we are a body of believers. We are a church, right? But this building, right? I believe it does have importance because it's where we, the body, come to edify each other and encourage each other. It's where we come to grow together. It's where we come to meet each other. It's where we come, you know, at youth camp, they said something that was so awesome to me. He says, "Man, I pray that your youth groups become so filled in the word during the week that when you get together on Wednesday, all you guys are doing is praising and worshiping God together." And that pumped me up. I said, man, I want that so bad. I want my youth kids to go out and open up their Bibles every day and get pumped up and to call me at 9 o'clock in the morning saying, Pastor Richie, I can't sleep. This word here has got me. I don't understand it. What does it mean? I'm getting excited about something I don't quite get. What is it saying? And we can learn together. We can read together. And then come Wednesday, we're so pumped up that we're like, man, we're getting a hold of the word and it's living inside of us. It's exciting us. It's pushing us to want more and more, to grow hungry and to get deeper into his presence. Can you tell me when you got an energy like that, that it's not going to spill out in the school halls? That it's not going to spill out in Safeway? That it's not going to spill out when you're filling your car with gas and you see somebody behind you and you know they're struggling and you walk up and just swipe your card before they can see it? Man, I want that hunger so bad for all of us. And I said this on Wednesday and I've said it before. Listen, no part of the body is insignificant. Every single one of you guys have a position here, and so I love the fact that I got to preach on the day he said we need help. Listen, we are a part of a great church. We are. We are a part of a great church. But guys, we can be so much greater if we all said, where can I help? Because it's not all about Pastor Chad. The anointing on Pastor Chad. It's not all about the anointing on me. It's not all about Shamini or the sound guy or the back, whatever area that we call that, or the children's ministry or the people that sweep and clean and wash the toilets or take out the trash. Listen, if we're not all functioning or walking in the presence of God while we're doing these things, things will start to pile up. The cans will start to overflow. People will come in here and say, look at this church. They got trash on the floor. I don't want to go in there. Right? If I don't have my left foot conversating with my right foot and moving me forward, I'm going to stumble and fall flat on my face. We need each other to function. But listen, it's very hard to function. And I'm learning this, guys. This is something that God has been pressing into me. So again, I'm not here going like this, I promise you. I'm over here going like this. Hey, I hear you. I hear you. If we're not walking in love and building our relationships with each other, and we're just quick to put somebody down, and I am taking correction on this, and it's something I'm walking in lately. We're not encouraging each other. It's real easy to become discouraged and not want to do anything. It's real easy to become discouraged and say, you know what, I'm gonna walk away from that. I'm just gonna be here. But listen, guys, that's not the attitude of a healthy family, right? I feel like when we walk away from that, something inside of us should be hurting. It's a heart posture. Something inside of us, we should be saying, wait a minute, this is not right. You know what? I'm going to call somebody out who offended me. Because I don't want to live in offense. I don't. I've been there way too long, and I've watched offense pull good relationships and good friends away. Right? So if I'm bothered by something, I made a decision over the last couple months, I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you and say, hey, you know what? I don't know if you intended it this way, but I can't not have you in my life anymore because you're a part of this body, which means you're a part of my family. It's not just a name on the sign outside. And because God hurts for me when I'm not doing okay, I hurt for you when you're not doing okay because God put you in my life. He put you in my circle of influence, and I want to be a part of you. And I want you to want to be a part of me. So, again, what is a godly relationship? One that inspires. Psalms 119:63 says, I am a companion of all who reverently fear you and of those who keep and honor your precepts. That word fear bugged me for a long time, right? Because I didn't grow up in religion, right? I didn't have God growing up. I was told at a very young age that I was going to hell, and I decided I was going to go there swinging. I was going to have a blast doing it, right? That was my understanding of God. I understood a God that hated me because I was bad. but I felt like I was bad because of my circumstance of where I was at. It was the way I was raised. It was what I was. I was a product of my environment, I used to tell myself, right? So I didn't want a part of a God that was going to just write me off like that. But as I began to see God from a different light, right, I started getting excited to know him, and that word fear still bothered me for a minute until it was actually Devin who talked about fear being the reverence of Christ, right? And then I heard another pastor talk about it, saying that, said it in a way that it was like, man, like, you have a father who loves his child with everything he has, right? And that child looks up to a godly example, a loving father who wants nothing but the best for me. I fear of disappointing him. I fear of letting him down. I fear that I can hurt him by my actions. And so I want to surround myself with a band of people that have that same fear and reverence for the Father, right? A fear of, I don't want to be a disappointment to God, right? And we're not going to disappoint God. God loves us. But as we press in more and more, we hunger for a relationship with him more and more and more, we're constantly growing. We're slipping. We might fall. We might make a mistake. We might bounce off the ground a couple of times. People always say, I hit rock bottom. I used to bounce off of rock bottom. But the more and more I begin to work on that relationship with God and build that godly relationship, the less and less I stopped bouncing off of rock bottom. And the more I began to fall to my knees and say, God, I'm not going backwards. I'm going to stop right here where I'm at. I'm not going backwards. I might not be moving forward, but I'm not going backwards this time. I'm not falling backwards into a bottle. I'm not falling backwards into a blunt. I'm not falling backwards into stupid, meaningless relationships that take me absolutely nowhere but a bad place, right? And I'm just going to praise you, God. And I'm just going to lift up my hands, and I'm just going to sing to you, even though I sound like a cat getting hit by a car. And I'm just going to belt it out, and I'm just going to scream it out at the top of my lungs and just sit here in your presence and sing, you're a good, good Father. Man, Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, and let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. I am almost done. Do you guys mind if I take a couple more minutes of your time? Good, I'm going to go anyways. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run away from youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those believers who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, Pastor Chad said something one day, and I might be butchering it, but he said something about unity that really hit me. And it was recent. He said something about unity that really hit me, and I might be butchering it. Maybe I made it my own. I don't know. But he said something along the lines of, unity, true unity is not something that can get offended and just walk away from. That's not unity. Unity is the willingness to want to fix what might be broken, that one might want to tear down a fence, right? Unity is a willingness to continue to grow no matter what kind of things were done or said, to come together and say, you know what, how can we make this right? And the only way we're going to see true growth into our in our body is if we're willing to do that. If we're willing to be one, if we're willing to be whole, if we're willing to work together for what we're called here to do, and that's share the lost, share the gospel with the lost, the broken, and the hurting here in our town. You know, Pastor Chad and I, we just sat down with the superintendent of schools, and both of us were sitting there like, excuse me, trying not to cry, because there's a harsh reality here in Chino Valley that we never even knew, and that is that there is more than 700 students right here in our community that are homeless, that are hungry, that come to school tired, that school is their only escape from the reality, which is a car or a couch at some stranger's house. Now, I was once that kid. I was homeless since I was 13. I raised myself from 13 to 20 years old. And the only time I had a roof over my head for most of it when I was incarcerated. That's when I got three meals and a roof over my head, right? Or when I started doing things that were ill so that I can be at somebody's house who needed me for what I had, right? There is such an amazing work that needs to be done here. But if here in this room we're constantly like this and we're not in here screaming and shouting, sounding like 100 cats that got hit by a car, praising at the top of our lungs. And I'm sorry about the cat. If you're a cat lover, I'm sorry. I don't have anything against cats. I just imagine a shrieking noise. That would be me, okay? So if you love cats, please don't be offended and leave here thinking, man, Pastor Richie hates cats, because I don't. All right, I'm just saying I do not sing well, okay? But the picture of all of us in here, one accord, singing together, praising together, worshiping together, and working towards what God has called us to do is so exciting to me. And I know that that's what's coming. I know that that's what's coming, because I see a change already starting to take place in this house. I see a growth already starting to take place in this house. And growth isn't always about numbers, right? It's about building a solid foundation that we can stand on to scream and shout praises to the kingdom and watch as God uses us in ways we never thought imaginable. I'm going to end with this. What is an ungodly relationship? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Man, that hit me with an impact, right? We can justify a lot, but listen, I can be kind of crash sometimes, right? I can be a little rough, and I'm growing. And if I've ever said something to you that may have been a little rough, I truly am sorry. I never want to be the reason for anybody to not feel comfortable or okay here. Forgive me, because like God is working on you, He's also working on me. But I will tell you that my heart, my most sincere thoughts and feeling is that I don't want anybody to ever walk away from this place because of me. So if I've ever made you have a bad feeling, I do sincerely apologize. I'm working on that. I'll lighten up the seriousness with this. There's a couple quotes. Ethel Mumford said, "God gave us relatives. Thank God we can choose our friends." Joe Lewis says, "Show me a friend in need and I'll show you a pest." I'm sorry. Sorry. That one's bad. Solomon says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, that one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." Abraham Lincoln said, "The better part of one's life consists of his friendships." Friends are the bacon bits in the salad bowl of life. That's from Pizza Place sign. When the character of a man is not clear to you, look at his friends, and that's an unknown source. So, Father God, Lord, I just thank you for bringing this message to me, God. I'm so willing to receive your correction. I'm so willing and ready to walk in your true picture of what love is, God. I know, like so many in here, I also want to walk in all that you've called me to be, Lord. I want to walk in every one of those fruits of the Spirit every day and every moment of my life. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a vision of growth, healthy growth. That you've given us a vision of something greater than we can even comprehend. That you've put us on a mission, Lord, and as these things begin to reveal themselves to us, Lord, I thank you that you have not revealed to me yet the destination, because I would force my way there. But as I'm growing, as I'm walking, as I'm building what you've called us to do, Lord, I thank you for patience as I sit back and watch. Lord, as we go out into the community and share the gospel with the high school kids, Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them that come, God. I thank you that it's not just a fragrance of pizza drawing them into that room, Lord, but it's that hunger and desire to be in your presence. That hunger and desire for something greater, that hunger and desire for something different, God. Lord, help us to set ourselves aside. Help us decrease so that you may increase in every single one of us, God. Help everyone in this room to understand what true unity looks like. And put a desire in some of them to volunteer. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.